Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Open House has a wide open door for so many top artists, and we're about to meet yet another. Grammy-nominated Christian singer-songwriter Matt Maher is making waves in the US and around the world with his latest album, All the People Said Amen. It's his fourth album to crack the Billboard top 25 Christian charts and his seventh album overall. Dozens of award nominations, 300,000 album sales and chart-topping singles. He's one of the most influential, and right now he's one of the most well-known Christian artists in the world. Right now he's on Open House. Matt, welcome.
Hey, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. You've been recording music now for more than a decade. This is your seventh album. What's the reason behind it all for you, Matt?
I get to simplify it all. It's really just because it's the gospel. It's Jesus, the life that I've been given through him and the love that I've received through him. It obviously compels my whole life. I think because of that love that I've received, I want to share it with others. I want to share it with the whole world. And I think specifically as a songwriter, you want to try to communicate that using your art. You know, art really is just a pure expression of whatever's going on in your heart. So I think the love that I've experienced in Christ from God through my marriage, through being a parent, through friendships, hopefully that's inspiring me and compelling me to write music about life and specifically about him.
When did that Christian journey begin and how did it begin for you, Matt?
You know, I was born and raised in a Catholic home in Newfoundland, Canada. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up knowing about God, but I think when I was 20, I had the experience of moving from Canada to the United States. My parents got divorced, and I think that whole experience created a certain openness within me to want to know how to deal with the challenges of life. And I think I realized that I was sort of being led in some ways to the States to encounter Jesus. I tell people it's like, I believed in God, I just didn't know he believed in me. I think that happened when I was 20. Sort of immediately I knew that this was the thing that was missing from my life.
Tell us how that encounter played out, Matt.
Well, I had a cousin who's my age, and she invited me to go to church with her. So I just started going back to Mass. And what I saw were teenagers who are taking their faith seriously. And I think when you encounter a group of people who are living out the gospel, it gives you permission to investigate it if you haven't in a long time. Not to oversimplify it, but I think most people live in society these days, and because they're not surrounded by a community of people who actually are practicing their faith and living out their faith, they just don't necessarily think of, hey, is this something that I should do? Is this something that should be part of my life? And for me, it was really just that simplicity of seeing people live out their faith and reading their Bible and praying and worshiping God that kind of made me go, oh, maybe this should be important to me. And then I think once you start actually doing it, you know, you start reading your Bible, you start praying with people, all of a sudden God immediately encounters you in his word, in the power of prayer. And that obviously is a huge confirmation that, hey, this wasn't an accident. This was a divine appointment.
And my guess is it was inevitable for you to marry your passion for music, already established, with this new life.
Absolutely. You know, the first rule of songwriting, they say, is you write about what you know. Up until that point, I think I'd known a lot of heartache, so I wrote a lot of songs about girls as a teenager. And when I encountered the love of Christ and I began to know it, not in a rational or legalistic sense, like I'm knowing a set of rules or something, but when I began to know a person, Jesus, the more I knew him, the more I wanted to write about him and write out of my faith, you know?
Did you have an ambition to go as far as you've gone?
No, I think most people, you know, it's funny, but when you start following Christ, I always thought that I was sort of giving up any worldly ambition that I had, and I was sort of setting that aside. Not that success is bad, but the pursuit of success for the sake of success, it's sort of an empty path. And so I wasn't really expecting anything. I wasn't expecting that I was going to be touring or making albums or being nominated for something like a Grammy. I had no idea. For me, it was just really simple of I'm trying to put God first in my life and in my relationships. And the best way that I could do that is to serve in the local church. And so that's what I did. And I was really, really content with just doing that.
So when the recognition started to happen, when you start being nominated for Grammys, tell us what that did to you.
I think it's a huge affirmation. You know, it's funny, though, you know, when you said when the affirmation be for me, to me, the affirmation that meant the most was when people in my own church community would come up to me after service or after church and say, man, you have no idea how God used this song today to minister to me. Mm. And I just remember having this sense of, like, this is the best accolade and the best achievement that you'll ever have with your music. To me, still to this day, the biggest thing of achievement is my wife telling me that God used a song that I had written to minister to her and help bring her back on her faith journey years and years before I ever met her. And, like, now I'd be lucky if I get a compliment and how to turn it off. Just kidding. But, but, you know, that's just not what our marriage is about. But that was huge affirmation for me. So, you know, the Grammy stuff's really cool. It is nice to be recognized amongst your peers. It's a great sense of gratefulness to be recognized in the community of that for the work that you put into it. But, you know, ultimately, it's not why you do what you do. I mean, I really do say it. It comes down to, I think it was Martin Smith, performing from the band Delirious. He talks about the scene in Chariots of Fire. This guy runs, and, you know, he's an Olympic runner, and he says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And I think for me, it's like, it's that simplest thing of, like, when I write songs and when I sing, you know, I write music, you know, and create it, I feel God's pleasure. It's what he made me. He gave me this gift and this ability to do this. And so I know just doing it gives him glory. And so it is neat to be sort of affirmed in the musical community, and you just sort of take it as it comes.
And it's also taken you before Pope Benedict when he visited the USA a few years ago.
It did, yeah, in New York. And he'd come to a large event outside of New York City, and a bunch of different bands were asked to perform, and so I was there. The cool thing about being at those kind of events, or even being at World Youth Day in Sydney in 2008, was it reminds you that the church is a big movement of God, and it's not just you and the people that you're worshiping with on Sundays. The body of Christ is a really big movement of God. I think for me, getting to be at any event where the Pope is that it sort of does that, because it connects you to the worldwide church and connects you to this sense of history that, you know, we're part of this movement that Jesus started, you know, 2,000 years later, they're still believers and we're still following God.
Matt, talk to us about your latest album, All the People Said Amen. Where did the inspiration for that title and what's in it come from?
I think for me, one of the things that I always love doing as a songwriter is I love trying to find old phrases and ideas within sort of the Christian culture, and, you know, where do they come from? What does that really mean? And that phrase, all God's people said, amen, has been around since the Bible. I think it's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and David brought the ark. The ark was stolen from the Israelites, and the Israelites got it back. They brought it back into Jerusalem, and David sang one of his songs, one of the Psalms. And at the end of it said, praise be to our God from everlasting to everlasting. It said, and all the people said amen. And I thought, well, that moment was something worth saying amen to. You know, even just the word amen, we take it for granted. What does it really mean? And what it means is to wholeheartedly, with your whole being, agree with something, to say, yes, I'm for that. I agree with that. And so I think for me, I just found in my life, like, what are the statements of faith, the songs that I've written so far that seem to have done that have sort of generated this big yes amongst the people of God. And so what it became was an opportunity or an idea to record a bunch of these songs so far that have really impacted people that we've enjoyed playing live. And, you know, Matt Redman says, it's a great quote, he says, you know, that the secret ingredient to any real good worship song is the church singing it.
Yes.
That's what makes a powerful worship song powerful. It's not the amount of guitars or the drums or anything. It's how does the church embrace the song? And so that's what we wanted to do, was to try to capture that. And so we did. We went out and recorded 9 either previously recorded or songs that I've played live, and tried to capture the church singing it in different contexts, and then added 4 new songs. You know, so I kind of tell people it's a musical collage. It's a collection of ideas and stuff that from the past 7 years that sort of say, this is where I've been, this is where I am, and this is where I'm headed.
And the marvelous thing about it is that a song that works in church from such an ancient and meaningful phrase is also seeing success in the charts.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that shows you that some truths are timeless.
Yes.
I think for me, that's definitely been a huge reminder that there are some things that are worth saying over and over and over again. It's really great that this record is resonating so much with people, and it makes me very, very excited.
Just before we have a listen to one of them, you must share with us the news that you've put on Facebook over just the last couple of days.
I absolutely will. My wife and I have a 22-month-old son. His name is Connor. And we're super excited to announce that we're actually expecting another baby. Kristen's been pregnant for about 5 months, and we're due in October. And we found out today that it's a girl.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Perfect pair.
Thank you so much.
It's great news.
It is. It's fantastic news. And so we're looking forward to that and all the adventures that go along with having a girl instead of a boy. And I can tell you my wife sure is excited.
Congratulations from Australia.
Thank you so much.
So to take us out, choose a song for us from the new album, Matt.
I think the song, that the current single, the song that seems to be ministering to a lot of people, especially in light of the tornado in Oklahoma, I don't think, as somebody who believes in God, that I'm never supposed to stop needing God. And I think in my life, I tend to try to battle with that a little bit. Like, you know, we get uncomfortable being needy in culture today and in society today. You know, we sort of look at that as a negative context, but God wants us to need Him. He built us. He sort of hardwired us to need Him. And nowhere is that more apparent than in hardship. You know, with this song, Lord, I Need You, is that if you're hearing it, that you would allow God to meet you in whatever need you have today. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. That's where He always wants to meet us.
Okay, well, let's have a listen. The song is Lord, I Need You from Matt Maher's new album, And the People Said Amen. Congratulations again on your fabulous news, Matt, and thanks so much for joining us on Open House.
Thank you.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.